PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star Race Car Bodies. 5-star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com. The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Welcome back to another edition, the August 1st edition of the O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Jack Smith here, Terry Wall. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Jack. It's getting hard. I mean, we got to get used to saying the O'Reilly's ASA Fast Lane show, huh?
Yeah, pretty cool, man. O'Reilly Auto Parts, the professional parts people, are, of course, the title sponsor to the ASA Fast Lane. We're coming to you every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Real Racing USA. And tell you what, there was some real racing at up in your old neck of the woods up in Illinois, man.
Yeah, Rockford Speedway, a quarter-mile high bank track, was an exciting race. Eddie Hoffman, one of our guests this afternoon, or this evening, is going to be on the show, the winner of the race. And I can't wait to talk to Eddie about old times and also the race at Rockford. But our first guest, it's going to be a young gentleman you've already interviewed, Colt James, out of Texas. And he's going to be our first guest of the show tonight, and I'm looking forward to talking to Colt.
Yeah, Colt won the first ASA Challenge race of the year over in San Antonio Speedway in his home state of Texas. And we'll be talking to him. But Bristol is what it's all about this coming week. I guess we're going to talk to Matt Prier, the media relations for media director for the ASA series, but we haven't been able to get in touch with him. We know he started out on his journey to Bristol, Thunder Valley, huh?
Oh, yeah. He left this morning. He left this afternoon, actually, after his wife got off of work, and he's on his way to Bristol Motor Speedway for the big race at Bristol. It's called the Benson International Crate American Race 200. And he's on his way, and we must have caught him at a bad spot on the cell phone system because we can't get a hold of Matt.
What do you think, Terry? Is this a race at Bristol? I mean, it's one of the most famous racetracks in the entire world. And what do you think? Is this a track where a veteran is going to be able to pull it off, or would you favor a young gun?
Well, I actually favor a veteran. Eddie Hoffman, who we're going to have on, raced at Rockford Motor Speedway, and Rockford Motor Speedway is a mini Bristol. It's a quarter-mile high-bank track, and Eddie is used to them high banks, and I think a veteran going in there will actually come out on top over the young guns who's never been there before. Bristol has just redone their concrete. It's a smooth racetrack, and it is one of the better tracks around for high speed and veterans. So I think a veteran's going to come out on top.
Yeah, well, I think I'd probably have to agree with you there. That would be where my guess would be too. Although, you know, I mean, in both the North and the South and the Challenge division, there are some There are some young race car drivers with just incredible talent. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and they're fearless too. They have talent and they're fearless. So you're right. It might be one of the young guns.
Yeah. So tell you what, why don't we just take a quick break here, and Jerry, you go ahead and do work your magic and line up. Let's get connected with Colt James, and we'll get her going, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jack. We'll be right back.
GOM, your online racing community since 1997. Carnate.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnate.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
With no sense or,
all right, Terry Wall, we're back from our break, and do we have our guest Colt James on the line with us?
Yes, we do.
Hey, welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, Colt. It's been a while since we talked with you, man.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
On the road to Bristol, eh?
Yeah. Just still preparing the car. You know, it's a lot of preparation going into Bristol than most normal races. So it'll be down to the wire.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just talking, Jack, about what we were talking during break or during the opening about. Who has the advantage, a veteran who's been to Bristol and run high bank tracks before, or a young gun who has no sense? So we were talking about that, and Colt, this is your first time to Bristol. Have you talked to any veterans or anybody that's been there before to get a little bit of a lowdown on how to run the track?
I've talked to a couple people. I got where I work at Roush and Yates. I talked to a couple people that went to the truck test there a couple weeks ago, just on the new surface and everything, and just see what the track's like. And then I got a buddy who runs in the UARA series that ran there last week, and just got a little info from him. So I've been trying to talk to everybody I can. Just I think it's gonna be a little bit different than even if somebody's ran there before, just with the resurfacing. Talked to a couple people who, you know, now run on the new surface and the old surface, and they said it was a little bit different, so.
It's still fast, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anytime you get 36 degrees of banking, you know you're going to be flying.
Well, Colt, after the first 8 races of the Challenge Division, you're hanging in there in third place. Is this behind Eddie Hoffman, who we're going to talk to here in a few minutes, and Travis Dassault? Is this shaping up kind of the way you expected it to this season, or what have been some of the ups and downs?
Definitely not what I was expecting. I mean, we were planning on running the South Series the whole time and won the first challenge race that we just went to run just to run, you know, and then kept on going and kept leading the points. Then we had a two bad races in a row that kind of knocked us down and fell all the way back to six, and we've just been clawing our way back at it, just trying to get up to the top. It's gonna be definitely hard to win the championship. Really trying just to get to second, you know, right now. But I mean, it's tight. I mean, one bad race and you can go all the way from second to eighth. You know, I mean, top eight, top nine are just real close. I mean, definitely what fans want to see. I don't, you know, I always hate it when somebody has a 400 point lead. You know, so definitely shaping up to be a good points race.
Yeah, so with the 100 and some points that Travis has on Hoffman and yourself, is that a significant amount, or is that something that can be overcome with the way the point system works?
I think it can be overcome. I mean, Travis has been having a really good season. He just hasn't had any bad luck yet. I know I was leading the points one weekend by 45 and had a bad weekend, and I was like 45 in the hole, so I lost 90 points in one weekend. So, I mean, just one bad weekend, you know, not just for Travis, for me or anybody, you know, I mean, you can lose almost 100 points, you know, just if the right person wins and you just have that one bad weekend. I mean, it could be a nose to tail before you know it.
Yeah.
I know Eddie Hoffman really well, and I know Eddie is going to be in there till the end. He has a really good team behind him, and Eddie's a good, steady driver, known him for years. I think he's my pick to try and beat everybody. But then again,
Colt James might have something to say about that.
I was going to say, having said that, Colt James and Travis and a few people might have something to say on that subject. But you just never know in the ASA because the competition is so close. And I've never seen a series before in my life that is as close as the ASA. This is your first year in the ASA, is that correct?
This is my first year of the challenge. I ran about six or seven South races last season.
You're from Texas, is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm originally from Texas, but I now live in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. And you work for Roush Racing?
Yeah, for Roush and Yates Racing Engine, just in the engine shop.
When you asked the truck drivers, which particularly the truck drivers that tested, did you go and talk to about the racing surface there?
I talked to the guys from the 16, the K&N truck, just mainly the team members, and talked to a crew chief. Haven't really got to talk to a driver directly from there, but I've talked to several of the crew members just to see what it's like and, you know, just ask a little bit setup-wise, you know, what was different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically, it said that the surface is just a tick different because of the resurfacing.
Yeah, I've heard really great reviews about a second lane. You know, they just they said, you know, it's coming in slowly but surely. And I know last week in the UARA race, Jake Crum was leading the race, and he was pretty much running the second groove, and he led over half the race. So that'll be real exciting if they can get two lanes working. It just to where it ain't nose to tail, you know, and somebody gets out there on the outside and gets going, it'll be real exciting.
And notoriously, Bristol has been a one-groove racetrack on the bottom of the track, and that's it. If you get off the bottom, you're done for. But if it's got a second groove now, Colt, boy, that's going to make for exciting racing.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it might take 30 laps for us just to get a get in single file. I mean, it'll be exciting. Bristol's always exciting regardless of what, you know, what track or how it's laid out. So it'll be an exciting race. Just hopefully there's two grooves and a lot of passing, and just hopefully it's just a good safe race. I know it'll be a lot higher speeds than what we're normal. So hopefully it'll just be a good clean race and just everybody will come out safe, you know.
Definitely, there's definitely expecting the ASA late model officials are expecting a pretty big turnout for the event in terms of cars. Is that going to add a dimension to the qualifying process?
Well, I mean, I think the top 10 are locked in points, but no driver wants to rely on a provisional. I mean, you gotta get up in the top 10, you know, just to try and avoid the stuff, you know, that happens usually in the middle of the pack. It's a lot easier on the tires and a lot easier on yourself if you can just just get a good solid qualifying run in the top 10 and maybe hit the invert somewhere. But there'll be a lot of cars going home because I'm sure there'll be probably close to 50 cars there. So it should be exciting. Qualifying will be real exciting too.
Well, that's a good point that Jack brings up. But having thought about it, Russ Chapman, the head of tech, we had him on the show last week, Colt, and he said there were going to be 50 to 60 cars. There's already 40-some cars pre-registered, and just making the show is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, except like he pointed out, the top 10 are locked in, right?
The top 10 in points are locked in automatically. Just and then I think there's a couple provisionals for the north and south points as well, just kind of because they're expecting a lot of north and south guys just to kind of throw in a loop just to try and get I guess some of them guys to come down. But I mean, it's going to be exciting. There's going to be a lot of cars there. I mean, qualifying is just going to be as fun to watch probably as the race, just to see, you know. I mean, I guarantee you qualifying will be as close as it's been all season.
Yeah, and looking on down the road, you know, past Bristol, you have the Milwaukee Mile 5 Flags and Music City Motorplex Plex. That's quite a finish, those four races to finish up this 2007 season. That's quite an assortment of racetracks. That's some bad racing right there.
Yeah, I'm excited. Milwaukee will be fun to go to just because of the history and how long it's been there, and I always love going down to a Five Flags. I got to race there twice last year, and I mean, I just love that place. Just the idea of, you know, how much the tire wear is there, and just having to save your stuff towards the end. You know, I mean, it's just, I've always loved going and watching the snowball, and Five Flags is definitely a great place to have the championship points night in, and then kind of have a big non-points race at Music City Motorplex. And I mean, that's probably by far one of my favorite racetracks.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's going to be a dogfight to the end, and Colt, I think you're not out of it yet. And like you said, all we need is one bad race, either Travis or Eddie Hoffman, and you're in. And what's your plans for next year? Are you going to move on to something different, or are you still going to run the ASA?
I'll probably still run the ASA. You know, I don't know if I'll do the Challenge or South. The Challenge requires obviously a lot more money. Would love to try and work out something, you know, maybe move up, but you know, if we can, we can. But I'm having a blast just running the ASA. The past 2 years have been really, really fun, and just hopefully we'll move up the line. If not, we'll run ASA and just go for a championship again.
So, Colt,
how old are you? And also, Colt, if you got some sponsors that you like to mention?
Yeah, I'm 24. I just turned 24, and Dickerson Machinery, Magnum Trailers, and Turner Motorsports have just been awesome help this year. Without any of them, there's no way I could be racing right now.
That's cool. Now, are you going to stay, since you're over there in North Carolina anyway, you'll be racing in the Southern Division race of the week following Bristol?
No, I won't be making Orange County, but a Hickory at the end of the season is actually after the Challenge point season, I think,
right,
in October.
Yeah.
That's only about 30 minutes away from where I live, so I'll probably be going to that race, you know,
yeah,
depending on how money looks. But I'd love to try and end with Hickory and Birmingham, I believe, the last race of the year for the South.
Right.
I think we're going to try and plan on running both of them.
All right, man. Well, we wish you the best of luck this weekend, and above else, we know you're going to have fun, and it'll be a great show for the fans, no doubt. And again, we wish you the best, Colt.
I appreciate it, guys, and appreciate what all y'all do for racing.
Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it. See you, Colt.
All right, Terry. Colt James.
Colt James. He's going to be a star of the future. I can feel it.
Yeah, he's a
very personal young man.
Yeah, and got a good head on his shoulder. We're going to go to take a quick break now, and be back here in a few minutes with the man.
Eddie Hoffman.
The man.
Next. We'll be right back.
CarNight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNight gets it done.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com. All right, welcome back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. And we're going to be speaking here momentarily with Eddie Hoffman, who won the event up at in Rockford, Illinois this past weekend in an exciting race, and we'll be talking to him momentarily. Yes, welcome to the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, Eddie.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Eddie Hoffman. Terry, go ahead, man.
All right, well, I am not going to say how old I am or how old Eddie is, but me and Eddie go way back. My first memory of Eddie Hoffman, and I couldn't tell you the year, Eddie, that this happened, but he was working for his dad, Ed Hoffman, who was one of the great racers in the Midwest, at Grundy County, Eliana Speedway, Rockford Speedway, and even some Wisconsin stuff, I believe, Ed, that your dad did, too.
Yeah.
And my first memory of Eddie was in a race, and him and his dad tangled, or his dad had tangled on the track with a guy named Ray Young. And, Ed, I don't know how old you were. You had to be in your early 20s, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And Ed is about 5 foot nothing, and this guy on Ray Young's crew was about 6'4". And all I could see was Eddie wailing away at this guy. And, and this guy was just holding him by his shoulders, but Eddie was trying to get at him for some reason. I don't even know what the reason was now, but that was my first memory of Eddie Hoffman. And but since then, you've become a short track superstar, and you come out of good stock. Your dad was a great race car driver, and now you turned out to be a great race car driver.
Yeah, appreciate that. But yeah, you know, been around it, you know, one way or another, like you say, you know, pretty much all my life. So it's pretty much built in.
Yeah, we used to envy his dad, Jack, because his dad come with the race car hauler, not a hauler, but one of those rollback type things, and everybody else had these little trailers, and his dad used to come with two cars, and I worked with the Schulers at the time, and we were envious. And then one year Pete Hamilton came with two cars, and that Eddie's dad bought. But his dad was a great driver, a great gentleman, and And now his son has turned out to be the same thing, a great race car driver also.
So, Eddie, tell us about this exciting race you just won this past weekend.
That would be Rockford. And, you know, I think exciting and Rockford pretty much go together just by nature of the racetrack itself. It's a real tight quarter mile with pretty good banking in it. And it's pretty much a one-groove place and real hard to pass. You got to be way faster to, you know, to get under a guy and pass him, or you got to help him up out of the way. And you know, every now and then they get a guy lead the whole thing, pull, you know, to the finish just because of the way the track is. But we were running real good and qualified third fast, and we had a big invert at a 10. So started back a little bit, and we had to work our way forward and tried to be patient and was still in third place, you know, with about 20 laps to go or so. But then it was time to go, and we had to get by the next guy, and he actually gave me a little bit of room. You know, I think he knew that it was time to go, and I was going to try and get to the lead, and we had a good car. And then we raced for the lead just for a couple laps, and, you know, you get to the middle of the corner, and you sort of just help the guy up a little bit out of the way, and then you got to run underneath him, and then we get down the straightaway, and you know, he was trying to slow me down going down the straightaway, and so we were banging sides a little bit, and you know, like I said before, it was just whoever got that next corner was going to take the lead, and, you know, was probably going to win the race. So that's how we did it.
Yeah, it sounded pretty exciting. I was reading the reports, you know, the race report about it from the ASA, and sounded pretty exciting. And so now this coming weekend, you're headed to Bristol Motor Speedway, and we were just talking to the guy who's trailing you in points there, Colt James. We were just talking to Colt, and this one is these last four races starting this weekend at Bristol. These are some monster races, man. What do you expect at Bristol?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at that schedule, and it's like, yeah, boy, this is some schedule. The places we're going to, you know, what to expect there, boy. That's a good question, because, you know, you can expect a lot of things, but chances are it's going to be different than what you're thinking or what you expect. And I've talked to, you know, one or two people that have been there and raced last weekend, and they say the track is real nice. It's you know, maybe easier to drive than it was before, and the transitions are a little easier, and the track is real smooth. So I don't know. Maybe we won't have all the, you know, doom and destruction that's been predicted, you know, with all of us going to Bristol and, you know, having a lot of new guys and young guys going to Bristol. So I'm not real sure. They say it's darn fast, so I'm sure we can expect some amazing speed.
Yeah,
have you heard the same as Colt told us, that it actually is a two-groove racetrack, and the winner of the UARA series actually ran the second groove instead of the bottom? Have you heard the same thing, Eddie?
Yeah, the one guy I talked to, he said the same thing, that, you know, they don't run the very bottom at all, pretty much. They're up just a little bit, and then there's still even more room outside of that with the compound banking that, you know, yeah, you can run outside of him. And he said, you know, once his guy found that and you know, got enough nerve to get up out there, he said his guy was passing cars and doing well out there. So, yeah, it sounds like it's a two-groove track. So I don't know if that's, you know, better or worse than before, you know, better for us racers, but it's going to be a little bit different.
Well, Terry and I were taking odds on whether this was going to be an event that favored guys like yourself that have been around with a little more experience, or some of the young guns, you know. And I think we kind of both agree that the odds got to be in favor of the veterans at this deal.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. And you would think going to a difficult and a new place, new venue, you know, that maybe experience could win out, but you know, you never know. A lot of these younger guys have, you know, years and years and laps, and with setups the way they are nowadays, people trying a lot of different things and doing different things. You know, you get a team or a guy that, you know, hit on something and get a car that really handles, and they're going to be fast, and, you know, just anybody can hit it, and then they're going to be the winner. You know.
Now, Eddie, you race the old ASA series too. And now you're in the new ASA series with the Crate Motors and stuff. I'm a very strong proponent of the Crate Motors for the cost factor and the leveling of the playing field factor. Now, what's your take on it, Eddie? You've done both, and what do you think of the old and the new?
rebuild them and freshen them up every few races. So, the cost savings are just huge, and that's, you know, one of the main reasons we're running the ASA series is, you know, the boss likes the engine build at the end of the year, and we finally just took our engine out the race before last and to get it rebuilt, and we've got all season on it. So, you know,
wow.
big time dollar savings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the horsepower is a little less than what the old V6s, you know, even were. And, you know, yeah, as long as we're all on the same field with the same horsepower roughly, then that's fine. And that, you know, that's a good thing. And it makes, you know, makes the setup that much more important. And you know, as long as, you know, Ron keeps his thumb on it, which he's doing, he's really been watching and cracking down, and it doesn't get out of hand, then I think the crate thing's a good thing. You know, would I rather drive something with big horsepower? You know, well, sometimes, some places, you know, race car drivers give them 1,000 horsepower, you know.
Sure.
If they want it, even though they'll probably end up just killing their tires or something. But in our minds, we all want horsepower, but we all got the same stuff, so, you know, it's good.
Now, they said the tire, too, is a spec tire, and that... you have hardly no tire to work with there, but it seems like the cream comes to the top, Eddie. Now, I know you've been around a long time, and I know you're a really good race car driver, and it seems like you're up there with two young guys, and Travis Sassau and Cole James, so it's sort of a mix there, but I really think it's all down to setup now and a race car driver.
Yeah, and I like it when we're at a track that is hard on tires, and I don't know if Bristol will be or not, but, you know, we've had a couple races, Berlin and that, where, you know, Canada, where just the track was so abrasive and it was killing the tires, and you know, maybe through experience, but, you know, I've sort of been easy on tires all along whenever I started racing, and for whatever reason, and we had some tires left at the end and started, you know, coming at the end of those races. So, you know, I hope for you know, the driver to have more input on what you're going to have at the end of the race, and some tracks like that, sometimes not.
Yeah, is there? How many years have you been doing the ASA deal here?
We did it last year, so this is our second year with the ASA series.
Yeah. What is your overall perceptions of this thing? I mean, how do you see this series in the big scheme?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I mean, there's been a little bit of a struggle for, you know, a good top series, you know, around the Midwest, you know, for a couple few years. We had ARCO for a while, then NASCAR took it over. The NASCAR, you know, pretty much folded up tent with the series that we ran for years, that even though it was a perimeter car. So, you know, we've been doing some different things with some different series, and, you know, we've run a lot of CRA races. But the ASA thing, you know, with the challenge and the type of tracks they go to, you know, just big venues between, you know, Milwaukee and Pensacola and Asheville and all that. And so that looked real attractive. And we did that last year, and, you know, we liked it, and we continue to do it this year. And we'd like to get a championship. You know, we've been close, but we're not quite there. And we had one bad race that pretty much killed us this year, so it's going to be hard to overcome that. But yeah, you know, overall in the Midwest, you know, you've got the ASA Challenge. I think it's pretty much, you know, at the top of the heap. And then you can also run ASA South or around here ASA North, and a little easier on the pocketbook yet. You just have 100 laps, go and get four tires, and that's a real good experience. And that's what we did at Rockford last weekend.
Yeah, now, are you're involved in motorsports full time? This is what you do for a living, or do you have a business outside of motorsports?
No, yeah, I've got a business outside, and I drive for, you know, Tom Kamak, at least Thomas Salons, and, you know, they've got their businesses. And we used to have a full-time guy, and that ended last year. So we're pretty much doing this by committee. And, yeah, it's difficult. You know, I've got an excavating business, so I'm on a tractor most of the time during the day. And I'm down at the race shop now and do that two or three nights a week. And it's tough. It'd be nice to get a full-time guy back in here, and that's something we might do. But with all the traveling and that, you know, the guys have really been pitching in, and we're just putting a big effort for it with these last three, four races coming up.
So this series then, I mean, from your perspective as being around this a long time, and you want to go out there and race as much as you can, not just the crate late model motors, but it seems the whole series is set up to be a little more economical than, say, some of
I mean, if you go to the Hooters Pro Cup Series and you don't have a top-notch crew to be able to do pit stops, you're in trouble.
Yeah, the pit stops is a big thing, and we had some of those at some races when we ran NASCAR, and you know, we did well at those because we were set up for it. We had some good guys, but yeah, that just, you know, really raises up the cost, and you got to bring six or seven guys, and then you got to have the pit equipment, and then you're buying tires for partway through the race, and that, you know, the ASA series, you can avoid that. You do get a halfway break, and you get two tires on the Challenge series with the 200 lapper, and that's, you know, that's real nice because you got time to do adjustments, and things will change. So, you know, you almost see two different races, the first half and the second half, and yet, yeah, you're keeping the cost down. You don't need, you know, six or seven guys at the racetrack to do that.
And we had last week, Terry and I spoke with, we spent quite a bit of time actually with Russ Chapman, the head of the tech area for the series, and it seemed like that guy really has his stuff together.
Yeah, he does, and he goes about it in a, you know, in a little bit different way than most tech guys, and you know, we get along with him all, we like him, and yet, you know, he's come over and give us a hard time now and then. You know, he's a little bit, I wouldn't say he's a lot, but he's a little bit like Peter Falk. You know, he comes over and he talks jokes, but I think he's always looking at something and or doing something, and he's got his mind on something all the time, and you know, you gotta, you know, be sure not to let your guard down. Not that we're doing anything, but he's always got Tekken on his mind, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Did you agree to that, Terry? That
he... Oh yeah, yeah. Russ is an old timer, and he Peter Falk is a good analogy, I think, because he just seems like he's always thinking. He's always got something on his mind, even though if you don't know about it. But now, we're not saying you've ever flighted the rules in your lifetime, Eddie, but isn't that a racer's prerogative to try?
Yeah, and it's all, yeah, you need to. And, you know, there's a difference between, you know, going to the track and cheating and, you know, trying to, you know, work the gray areas or you know, go right to the edge of the line. And
exactly.
And, you know, going to the edge of the line and working areas, you know. I'd like to have more time to do a little more of it, to tell you the truth right now. But you got to try and do that. And it's when you go to the racetrack with, you know, a big engine or a aluminum or titanium this or that, that, you know you're breaking the rules and you're going there to do that, then that's where, you know, people need to crack down. And you know, they do that from time to time. But that's, you know, that's where I think Russ sort of keeps his thumb on everybody and that gray area stuff. So
isn't that one of the positive things about the ASA series, that they are so stringent as far as tech goes and body dialing and things like that? I mean, they pulled a couple of motors and checked them this year. I think that's what hurts a lot of the old series, is because they let them go over the gray area, and then they're looking for car count, so they're not worried about some of the things that the old people did. But now they're getting 40 cars to a race sometimes, and they check everybody stringent. Russ said at Bristol, because of all the cars, they're going to have to start really early on tech and let tech last a long time, because they're going to be just stringent at Bristol as any place else.
Yeah, and you know, and I might not go along with the theory of taking it easy and get more cars. I think, you know, if they're strict and stringent, and you know how you need to go to the racetrack, and you know all the basic rules that you have to, you know, meet, then that gives you more time to either, you know, go out with, you know, with the family to dinner or vacation here or there, rather than working all these other gray areas. You know, there's
exactly
enough little areas and gray areas that you got, you know, time and you can do some things, but. Yeah, I mean, the template's got to fit, and the weight's got to make it, and the engine, you know, better be, you know, the spec engine and sealed and all that, and that's the way it should be. And I think that's one reason they do get a lot of cars, because, you know, they're pretty set in most of their major rules.
Well,
go ahead. Well, I was going to say, outside of the, you know, of the ASA, putting the ASA aside for a moment, how is short track stock car racing at the local level faring up in your neck of the woods these days?
You know, it's the last few years, last 10 years, you know, I think it's actually gone down a little bit as far as car counts and people counts at a lot of racetracks. Now, there's a couple few racetracks up by me and in the Midwest, Wisconsin, that are as good as ever. And I couldn't really tell you for sure why, and I don't know if anybody could. You know, the track I run, Grundy County, they still get, you know, pretty big crowds, and they're still getting, you know, over 20 cars every night. Ileana, they get decent crowds, but they don't have a lot of cars. You go to Slinger, and you know, the place is packed every Sunday night, and Madison, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So, you know, it's hard to say, and I really couldn't tell you why, just, you know, other than NASCAR is definitely, you know, cut in, I think, to the short track racing, because people are, you know, wearing, you know, Gordon's or Earnhardt's hat, and that's what they want to go see. And the only thing that's helping us now is a lot of these guys are starting to come back and run some of these short track races. You know, David Stremme's been to a couple of ASA races, and Kurt Busch has been up here just last week and running his own late model. So, you know, it seems like, if nothing else, the drivers are going to come back and help out short track racing, because with the big, you know, 800-pound gorilla over there, it needs a little bit of help.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves about NASCAR running Saturday night. They're killing the local short track.
Yeah, it's big.
And running under the lights. And I do a NASCAR show on, it'll be on Sunday night from now. But I get on to NASCAR for about everything.
Yeah, we have to put a little bit of a rein on Terry once in a while when he gets a little emotional about that subject. But man, we're back to the thing of Bristol. So what, anything really different you're going to do for this week, or are you just going to go out there and cast a spell on them?
No, we're going to go out. The thing we're going to do different is we're going to get there late and let everybody else figure the place out. Then I'm going to go talk to about five drivers and see what we got to do, because there's still, like, what, 7-8 hours of practice on Friday.
Yeah.
And so that's my secret, is to, you know, let everybody else figure it out. And other than that, we're just going there with some stiff springs, you know. That's really all we're going to do. We've run some high banks tracks, I-70, Salem, and Winchester, and that's pretty much all we've really done in the past. And just stiffen her up and be ready and see what the track wants, and, you know, it's going to be whoever figures it out first, really.
All right.
And let everybody else put the rubber down on the track and do the crashing before you get out there.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, or I'm hoping to at least have it figured out by the time I get there. So, you know, we don't need a lot of crashing. It sounds like it's not going to be a lot of crashing, but you never know. And yeah, I mean, with all that much practice, I don't think I need to be there first thing in the morning, that's for sure. I can't get up that early now anyway. So.
The older we get, Eddie, the less sleep we get, I think.
Yeah, the less sleep we need, but I'm still, I'd rather, you know, even back when my dad was all over me, if I could sleep till 8 or 9, I would, but, you know, I'll work on the car till midnight, 2 in the morning if we need to.
How is your dad?
Good, he's good. He's out in California, and, you know, he comes back every now and then to see us. He'll be back in town at Ileana Bettenhausen time to hang out, and, you know, I was putting a second car together, haven't got it done, but you never know, we might see him in a car, you know, before the season's over or sometime next season. So he's still active. He's been racing out in Irwindale in California, where he lives now, on and off. So
When is the Bettenhausen race this year? In October still?
September, I believe it's September, the weekend of the 17th, 18th, if that's a Saturday, if that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll have to check that out, because maybe I'll make that show. I was wanting to go to the Bristol show, but I don't look like I'm going to make that show. But,
yeah.
I'll see you down the road.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Eddie Hoffman, thank you very much for spending some time with us here tonight. And you're at the race shop getting ready, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what the guys are there. We're waiting to scale it up. They pretty much got it ready, so we're going to throw those heavy springs at it and see what we got.
All right, man.
All right.
Good
thanks,
luck,
Eddie.
Man.
Sure appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay,
right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right, a class act,
right,
man.
Eddie Hoffman.
Yeah, class act, and another one of those. I have to put my money in the ring with the veterans this weekend. But I tell you what, Terry, you know, I will be at Lakeland's USA International Speedway for a big super late model race for the Triple Crown, Florida Triple Crown, with some of the best guys around the Sunshine State. But you know, people can join Dennis Michelson, the host of the ASA Late Model Series radio show, and Matt Prier, who's the voice for the ASA Late Model Series. They're going to be broadcasting the race live from Bristol, the Benson International Crate American Race 200.
Right.
And they're going to be broadcasting it live. If you go to racetalkradio.com about 4 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, you can tune in to it if you're hanging around the house and you're not at a racetrack.
I definitely want to try and do that, and I definitely want to know the results, and I cannot wait to see the results of this race, and can't wait till our show next Wednesday, so we can talk about the race to some of the consistency that was outstanding at the race. It's going to be an exciting time.
Yeah, next Wednesday we'll probably end up having, don't know that for positive, but I think we're probably going to end up having a little bit of an extended show. We may end up having an hour and a half or 2 hour show next week because there's going to be a lot to talk about. And the following week, we will be up at Orange County Speedway in North Carolina for the ASA Southern Division race. So, these two guys, there was great guests to have on the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane show here tonight.
It is, and this show's getting bigger and better, and. And we want to thank O'Reilly for coming on board with us. They have extended their courtesy, and they have the confidence in us to give us the shot. And I think that's great. And I think we'll do them really good. And also, and all of our other sponsors, Five Star and. Power Master and Port City Racing. We want to thank all our sponsors for coming on board with us, and we got many, many more wanting to come on board with us. So we'll have to go to a two-hour show maybe because of all the sponsors that want to get involved with the ASA Fastlane.
Well, I guess
ASA Fastlane.
And I guess the commercial spots for the Port City Racing will be available. They'll be listed. You'll be pounding them out next week, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we'll
that's cool.
Have them all on board, Port City Racing, and. We have Five Star and Power Master, and we have some other people that's getting involved with us, and we'll have all of them on board next week. It's an exciting time in racing, and like Eddie said, some of the local tracks are suffering because of what NASCAR is doing, but then some of the local tracks are overcoming what NASCAR is doing. And on our Sunday night show, we'll talk a little bit about that, about NASCAR and their Saturday night shows killing the local short track.
Well, you know, I cannot avoid mentioning this. Last night on our Real Racing USA live show that we do every Tuesday night, we had a very special guest on. We had David Rudiman, the driver of the Domino's Pizza 00 Nextel
right.
Cup car, and his whole family, the Buzzy Rudiman and Wayne Jr., Wayne Sr., and I'll tell you, it was a really special night. We spent about a half an hour with David. And that whole show is available. You can listen to that on Real Racing USA.
Yeah, my favorite part of that show when Junior was talking about Bell helmets having to make a special helmet for David because of his big nose.
Yeah, wasn't that? These guys are just going at it. They just never quit. That those guys are funny.
David said Junior had to have a booster seat so he could see.
Yeah, but that's all available on Real Racing USA and. We'll have a link. I just noticed we don't have a link on the O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fastlane page to get in touch with us. We'll put that on there tonight.
Sorry.
And if you have a guest you want to be on our show or you have any comments or feedback for this show, let us know because we do it for you. And anything else you got tonight, Terry?
No. Just hope they have a nice, safe race in Bristol and I'm looking forward to listening to it, possibly, and reading the results. And racing is getting exciting again, Jack.
All right. Till next week. This is it for Terry and Jack, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye now.